Morning. Today's daf is Pei Gimel in Zvachim. The plan today is to finish the 8th parak and begin the 9th parak of the Masechta. We are on Pei Beis and Beis. We're starting today with the words Tanur Rabbanan. The Gemara is going to introduce us to a Brice. Topic of discussion is this is the last sugya of the 8th parak. In such, the topic has been, once again, Tarovis. We talked about various types of mixtures since the beginning of the parak. Parak takes us all the way back to Daf Ayin Amud Beis. It's been a long perek. It's been a long venture into this perek. Ayin Amud Beis, Kol Hazvachim Shenisarva B'Chataos HaMesos. So we started off by talking about where Karbanos get mixed together, talked about where bloods get mixed together, talked about where the Murim get mixed, not Imurim, where the limbs of the Karbanos get mixed together. And so our last discussion in the Mishnah was where it's not so much a Tarovis as the Mishnah discusses what happens when I receive the blood of a Karban Chatas in two cups. One of the cups then is either taken inside into the Heichal or one of the cups is taken outside. And we learned in the Mishnah that there is going to be distinction between the two. If taken inside into the Heichal, so the cup that's brought inside is certainly disqualified because the blood of a Karban Chatas Chitzona that's taken into the Heichal is Pasul. So that for sure is true. Is it going to then be paired with the cup that's outside? As opposed to where I take one of the cups and takes it outside of the Azara, where again, that's the Pasul of Yotzei. Is its twin going to be Pasul? So the Mishnah pointed out that there's a distinction between the two cases. That in the first case where I take one of them, Let me go in the order of the Mishnah. If I take one of them outside the Azara, the one that remains inside is Kasher. Masha'enkin, if I take one of them inside, so according to the Chachamim, not only is that going to be Pasul, but its twin is also going to be Pasul as well. And how do we know that? How do we arrive at that conclusion? Why there should be the distinction? The answer is very simple. It's Xeris HaKasuf. The Gemara yesterday darshaned out based on Psukim. Tanu Rabbanan, we are now continuing along this track. Panima Eli Ela Panima. The Torah says that the blood was brought interior, which means to say that the disqualification of the blood is only when you brought it into the interior. Now, we all know the structure of the Beis HaMikdash. We've gone over it many times as we've been learning Zvachim now, and we are now on Daf Pei Beis. So that is nearly 3 months of learning Zvachim in Daf Yomi terminology. So we're all familiar with the structure of the Beis HaMikdash. So the more westbound you go, so the more you are entering into an area of Kedusha. So in other words, as you walk in from the east, I'm going from the east to the west, as you're walking into the east, you're walking into the Ulam, right? English translates as the antechamber. Then you're going to be going into the actual Heichal itself, the edifice of the Beis HaMikdash. And then as you continue westbound, so you're going to be arriving at the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Kodesh HaKadoshim, where the Aron is contained. Kodesh HaKadoshim, as we all know, an area where only one person goes in one time a year. There is maintenance, the Gemara discusses elsewhere. But in other words, outside of maintenance, and there's one time where Kohen Gadol goes in, and that, of course, is in Yom Kippur. What the Gemara right now is entertaining is the following. If the Torah would have just said the word Panima, Panima just simply means the interior. So the interior, at this point, the Gemara is assuming, means the most interior, which the Gemara right now is assuming is Kodesh HaKadoshim. And so right now, the Gemara is entertaining a thought, which is that the blood of a Karban Chatzas Chitzona is only going to be disqualified if it's brought in Panima, if it's brought in most interior, and that means to say into the actual Kodesh HaKadoshim. So Panima, Ein Li Ela Panima, Heichal Minayin. How do I know that the blood is just simply brought into the Heichal, so that too is going to be disqualified? So Tam Alamer Ela Kodesh Panima. So the Torah says Kodesh Panima. Kodesh means any sanctified area, and that of course includes the entire Heichal. V'yomer Kodesh V'al Yomer Panima. So the Gemara says, okay, so Kodesh is really the tip. So why doesn't the Torah just simply say the word Kodesh, and that would be enough? And the Torah doesn't have to say the word Panima, interior. Amar Rav Abazeh V'limed Al Zeh. So the Gemara says, well, really, one pasuk is being revelatory about the other pasuk, meaning that just to make sure that we understand, the Torah lays out both so that we know that Panima is the most interior, which means Kodesh is not the most interior, which means that it's a Heichal. The Gemara says, I'll give you an example of where we find this, where even though we could learn one out from the other, but the Torah has to mention both, so that one is revelatory on the other. So the Gemara says, it's much like Toshev Esachir. We know, just a little bit of background over here, so we know that when it comes to a Kohen, so his ability to eat Truma is not only his ability, But anything that's kinyan kaspa, anything that is an acquisition of his, also can eat truma as well. So it's mekadesh a woman, she can eat truma. He minatar, midaraban, and she has to wait till nesuin. But minatar, she can eat truma. His eved kenani can also eat truma as well. What about an eved ivri? Can an eved ivri of a kohen eat truma? The answer is no. Eved ivri of a kohen cannot eat truma. It's not an acquisition of the kohen. That's an employer-employee relationship. Now, granted, by the way, it's an interesting employment relationship as an eved ivri. So you're there, and you're there for a little bit of a time, depending on, you know, on what your debt is, and depending on how many years we are until Yovel. But in other words, you're there for a while. And so that is an eved ivri. We also know there's something called an eved ivri, which is la'olam. An eved ivri that simply decides that after 6 years, I really like it here, I'd like to stay, a piercing of his ear, and now he's an eved ivri la'olam. So how about that? Can he eat truma if he is an eved ivri la'olam of a kohen? And again, the answer is no. Meaning because, once again, the relationship is an employment relationship, and it is not kinyan kaspo. And so therefore, he cannot eat truma. Stay with me, stay with the Gemara. So Detanya, the Gemara says, Toshav Zekanu Kinyan Olam, Sachir Zekanu Kinyan Shanim. So when the Torah says Toshav and Sachir, so those kinds of expressions in the Torah speak to somebody who is Kona Kinyan Olam, that's our Eved Ivri who is Merutza, who has got his ear pierced, and Sachir Zekanu Kinyan Shanim. And a Sachir just simply means that he's there for the short time. Maximum 6 years. Yomer Toshaval, Yomer Sachir, Vani Omer. And Danny, the Gemara now asks exactly your question. So how can that be? In other words, if the Torah would have just simply said Toshav, the Toshav can't eat Truma. If the Toshav can't eat Truma, and he's there for some time now, and he can't eat Truma, so for sure, Kanu Kinyan Olam, I'm sorry, Vani Omer, Kanu Kinyan Olam, Eno Ochel, Kanu Kinyan Shanim, L'Kol Shekein. If the Eved Ivri who is going to be there for a long time cannot eat Truma, certainly the temp, the Eved Ivri temp cannot eat Truma as well. So, Ilu Kena Yisi Omer Toshav Zeh Kanu Kinyan Shanim. So the Gemara says, because look, if the Torah would have given us only one expression, so then we would have said, I don't know. Meaning what I don't know is, what is the Torah making reference to? Is it talking about the long-term Eved Ivri, or is it talking about the short-term Eved Ivri? So if the Torah would have just simply said the word Toshav, I would have said Zekanu Kinyan Shanim, short-term Eved Ivri. Avakanu Kinyan Olam Yehi Ochel. But if he's a long-term Eved Ivri, I might have thought that he should be able to eat. Again, that's if the Torah would have given us one term. So by the Torah giving us both expressions, now we know with clarity that one is going on the short-term Eved Ivri one, the other one's going on the long-term Eved Ivri. And in both those cases, they don't eat. So here's an example where, yes, of course, we could have learned one out from the other. But the problem is that if the Torah would have given us one expression, we would not necessarily have known which one it applies to. We may have applied it to one, not the other. By the Torah giving us both, now we know that it's talking about both. So what the Gemara now is suggesting is, same thing over here. Over here, when we're talking about bringing the blood of a chatas chitzona into the heichal, so if the Torah would have just simply said the word kodesh, so I might have thought that it should only apply to the Kodesh HaKodashim and not the actual Heichal. So by the Torah using two terminologies, both Kodesh and Panima, so it covers both. Just like Toshav V'Sachir cover both. So to which the Gemara says, Amalei Abaye, Bishla Mahasam, Trei Gufininu. So Abaye says, look, over there by the Toshav and Sachir, I get it. I totally understand. It's Trei Gufininu, it's two bodies, it's two separate entities. V'Avagav D'Havile L'Kra L'Mechtav Nirtza, Lo Yochal. And even though the truth of the matter is, you know what the Torah could have just simply said? The Torah could have said nirtza. Meaning, isn't the whole point over here is that to provide clarity? Meaning, that was the argument of the Gemara. Gemara West says that the Torah uses two expressions, and the two expressions are there to provide clarity. Torah could have done it by just simply that we're using the word nirtza. Nirtza means piercing. Meaning, we would have known exactly which Eved Ivri we're talking about, because only the long-term Eved Ivri gets his ear pierced. The other mandamer would say asabi kavachomer. So in other words, yeah, but we could have learned it out from the kavachomer. Milsa dasabi kavachomer tarch v'kasav lakra. And even though it's something that we could have learned out through a kavachomer, sometimes what the Torah does is the Torah spells it out. Even though you're right, we could have learned it out through a kavachomer. Elahacha kaven de ifsal behechal lifnai v'lifnim my bayi. But the Gemara says, okay. So in other words, by the Toshav and Sachir, Fine. The Torah wants to spell it out, and that's why the Torah gives us two expressions. And Abayi says, and I get it. But over here, let's consider. Let's consider where I bring the blood of a Chatas Chitzona into the Heichal. And here's what we would have entertained. Well, the Torah needs to express both the Kodesh, meaning the Heichal, and the Penima, the Kodesh HaKadashim, because I wouldn't, if I only had one, I would not necessarily know the other. But the Gemara says over here, from a pragmatic standpoint, how do you get to the Kodesh HaKadashim? So presumably there's only one way to get there, right? It's a one-way street. So in other words, you go into the Heichal, and then you go into the Kodesh HaKadashim. Again, no one's allowed to do that, but that's the only way you can actually get there. So, Lefnai v'lefnim, my baye. So I'm sorry, Beheichal, Hacha, Kevin, Deifso, Beheichal, Lefnai v'lefnim, my baye. So if it already gets disqualified in the Heichal, so what then would be the purpose of the Torah telling me, and it also becomes disqualified when it gets into the Kodesh HaKadashim? The only method of getting to the Kodesh HaKadashim is through the Heichal. And it's already disqualified as it gets to the Heichal. So, Ela Amar Abaye, Lo Nitzrucha, Ela L'derech Meshupash. So Abaye says, okay, so maybe I can understand in the following context, and that is that perhaps there is a way to get to the Kodesh HaKadashim without having to go to the Heichal. How exactly does that work? So, he describes it as a derech meshupash. If you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi lo nitzrucha, it's right alongside where we are in the Gemara. Hi penima ela derech meshupash. The word penima, which again is a reference to the Kodesh Kedashim, you can get there by taking some sort of circuitous route. Shelo kedarko kigon. Rashi writes derech gagin va'alios beis hamikdash bilulin. Rashi describes that somehow there are second floors, rooftops, back alley, back channels. And that, at that point in time now, in other words, since there is an avenue, there is a way to get to the Kodesh HaKadosh without having to go to the Heichal, so now I need a separate limud. So and Rashi points out, now of course, the Kal V'Chomer is very simple. If the blood of an outer chatas gets disqualified with the Heichal, for sure it's going to get disqualified in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which even has more Kedusha, but Rashi points out, but that's exactly the point. It's just like Gerev Toshav. The Torah could have told us one and we would have deduced the other, but Tarach V'Kasav Lakra, the Torah goes out of its way to be clear about it. Here as well, the Torah goes out of its way to be clear about it. Back to the Gemara. So, Ela Amar Abayi, L'Nitzrucha Ela Derech Meshupash. Amle Rava V'haha Ba'aksiv. Bay? Rava doesn't appreciate that. In other words, the Torah says Hava. Hava usually refers to a normal entrance and a normal way upon entering. Ela Amarava Komida de Chashiv Allah Lefnai V'Lefnim La Mifsa Behecham. So the Gemara, so Rava makes his suggestion that in other words, it could very well be that if the person's intent is to go to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and of course it's true, as you're walking in the normal path, which obviously is going to require you to walk through the Heichal, but your intention was not to go into the Heichal, but your intention was to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So maybe, perhaps you can now make the argument that it will not be disqualified as it goes into the Heichal, because that wasn't your original intent. Your original intent was only going to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and so therefore, had the Torah not articulated both, so one could have entertained the idea that it only will be disqualified when it gets into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. By virtue of that, the Torah then has to identify both to tell me that it is disqualified, even if he goes into either or. Okay. Adkan. So far we have established that the blood of an outer chatas that's brought into either the Heichal or into the Kodesh HaKadoshim is going to be disqualified. The Torah uses two expressions. Why the Torah uses two expressions? So Abayi and Rava each offer an approach in terms of why the Torah has to articulate both. With all that stated, the Gemara now has a couple of follow-up questions on all this. By Rava. Okay. So, once you think about these questions, they're really good. Outer Chatas blood brought into the Heichal disqualified. Clear. Simple. Straightforward. What about inner chatas blood, which obviously the whole point of being an inner chatas is that the blood is brought into the Heichal. So bringing it into the Heichal is not a disqualification, it's called a mitzvah. That's what we're supposed to do. But what if I take that blood and go even further interior? Let's say I take it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Is that blood going to be disqualified? Mi amrinan. So on one hand, the argument could be made ala kodesh penima, kol hecha de karina ala kodesh karina le penima, kol hecha de lo karina ala kodesh velo karina penima. On one hand, the argument can be made as follows. The disqualification is a function of you can't bring it inside. Inside incorporates both the hechal and the kodesh HaKadoshim. But once you are given an allowance to bring it into one part of the inside, so then there's never going to be disqualification, even if I bring it into the other part of the inside. Okay, that's one possibility, which then would mean, of course, that since the inner chatos blood is brought into the heichal, bringing it further into the Kodesh HaKadoshim is not going to disqualify it. Odelma, shelo bimkomanhu. Or the other side of the argument, which is really simple, is, hey, it's not appropriate. It's not the place. In other words, yes, there is a mitzvah to take the blood of an inner chatos and bring it into the heichal, but only into the heichal. There is no mitzvah to bring it into Kodesh HaKadoshim. In fact, that's the wrong place. That's the inappropriate place for that blood. Therefore, if you bring it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it becomes disqualified. So those are two sides of the question. And now the Gemara follow-up. Imtim salam shelo bimkaman hu. So the Gemara says, so let's assume that shelo bimkaman. Okay, so let's take the second half of the argument, and that is inappropriate, not the right place. So if I take the blood of an inner chatos, bring it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it's going to be disqualified. Let's assume that. So now, parvus yoshu yam kippurim shehiza midamam alabadim v'otzi alehecha v'yichnisan mahu. So the Gemara says, here's another follow-up question. The blood of the bull and goat on Yom Kippur. So we know this already. I'm just going to quickly refresh. So each one of them is shechted separately. The blood of each is first taken into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where it's sprinkled Bein HaBadim, one time up, seven times below, then taken out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim by the Kohen. By the way, I'm simplifying because there's the Ketores and the cloud of smoke, but in other words, I'm just focusing on the blood. Then it's taken out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, brought into the Heichal, seven times in the direction of the Peroches, and then another seven and four times on the Mizbeach HaZav, on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, the inner Mizbeach. Ask the Gemara as follows. The blood of these two Karbanos, clearly, it's a mitzvah to bring them into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So, obviously, bringing them to the Kodesh HaKadoshim is not going to disqualify them. Ask the Gemara the following question. Let's say you take the blood, you bring it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you do the mitzvah, you go out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, obviously we're talking about the Kohen Gadol, he goes out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim with those bloods, and he goes back into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So in other words, here's the question. Obviously you're allowed to bring him to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but once you do the mitzvah, and then you retreat, and you go into the Heichal, and you go back into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, is that considered shelo bimkoman, no longer the appropriate place? And is that going to disqualify that blood? Mi amrina mekoman hu? So on one hand, you can make the argument that, look, the Torah allows you to bring it in there, even though you already fulfilled the mitzvah, but it's still mikoman, it's an appropriate place for that blood, or dilma ho v'nafak nafak. Or the other side of the argument is, no, you left already. You did the mitzvah, you left already. That place is no longer mikoman. You did what you were supposed to do. Thereby bringing it back in again is going to disqualify it. Imtim salam, the Gemara goes one step further, ho v'nafak nafak, the Gemara says, okay, so let's assume that once you exit the Kodesh HaKadoshim after having sprinkled the blood in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so you can't bring it back there. You can't bring it back there again. And if you do so, you will disqualify the blood. The Gemara says, "How about one more follow up question?" He's a medamam al haparoches v'otzil mizbeach v'ichnisan mahu. So the Gemara says like this. Again, procedurally, what happens is that after the Kodesh HaKadoshim, then the Kohen Gadol with the blood is going to go into the heichal. Face the parochas, meaning he's facing westbound. He's sprinkling echa lamalave v'sheva lamata in the direction of the parochas. Then he goes to the mizbeach hazahav. Now Rashi over here says very clearly, when he goes to the mizbeach hazahav, he's actually going to be standing on the east side of the mizbeach hazahav. Mizbeach hazahav, by the way, is very small, meaning it's one amma by one amma. So in other words, he can hit all four corners just by standing in one location. He just simply reaches over with his arms. It's literally an arm's length, meaning it's an amma by an amma. So he just hits all four corners, and tia rosho mizbech, and also the top of the mizbech as well. So, but he's standing on the east side. So now the Gemara has one last follow-up question to all this. How am I able to disqualify blood that's allowed to go inside? How about if the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, does his hazaz, goes to the parochas, does his hazaz, and then goes to the east side of the mizbeach? So now he's in the Heichal. But now, as he's in the east of the Mizbeach, he then takes a step westbound to go to the west side again. Is that going to disqualify the blood? On one hand, the argument is, he hasn't moved from one building to another, or even from one room to another. He's just simply backtracking a little bit, but within the same room. Odilma, Yitzia Karina Bay. Or the Gemara says, no, maybe that's considered Yitzia. Meaning that because he's now heading in an eastbound direction to the exit of the Heichal, anytime he goes back westbound, that is considered Hachnasa. That's considered entering in, which is illegal. Teku, the Gemara leaves this question unresolved.
Sure.
They are two separate rooms. No, what do you mean? 100% they're two separate rooms.
I thought you were saying is one continuous room.
When I'm talking about the one continuous room, I'm talking about in the Heichal itself, being on one side of the Mizbeach versus being on the other side of the Mizbeach. Okay. Tanya, Nichnas L'chaper.
Okay.
The Rambam, generally, when the Gemara goes with the style of Intim Salam and Tim Salamar, so I didn't look it up here, but in general, the Rambam, when you have Intim Salamar, the Rambam will always adopt the Gemara's assumption, meaning let's assume this and then let's move forward. Let's assume this and let's move forward. So every time the Gemara does that, the Rambam then works with the Gemara's assumption only up until the last one. If I'm right, I mean, it's very easy to research. So then the Rambam would anticipate that all these questions are, like the Gemara says, let's assume this, and then only on this last point, the Gemara remains in a take. Okay. After Daf today, I'm going to look it up. If you look at the Mishnah now talks about bringing the blood, outer blood into the Heichal and it becomes disqualified. Exactly at what point? So if you remember the Mishnah yesterday, so the Mishnah brought down a number of opinions on this matter. Nichnas l'chaper afa fishlo keeper pasul divrei Rabbi Elazar. I'm just reviewing the Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar says that if you bring the blood in to be mechaper, but, says Rabbi Elazar, you didn't do it yet, doesn't matter. Blood's disqualified. Rabbi Shimon omer ad sheyechaper. Rabbi Shimon says no. Ad sheyechaper. That you must actually take the outer chatzos blood and sprinkle it onto the inner mizbeach. Then and only then does it become disqualified. And Rabbi Yehuda omer meichna shoge kasher. And then there's a third opinion, Rabbi Yehuda, that if you go in absent-mindedly, so then the blood would be kasher. It's not clear whether Rabbi Yehuda is subscribing to Rabbi Shimon's viewpoint, Rabbi Eliezer's viewpoint. Stay tuned. First, the Gemara quotes a Braisa, Tanya. If you want to see, Rashi spent a lot of time over here going over what we're learning here in the Gemara and comparing it to the Torah's Kohanim. Right, the Medrash Halacha that brings down a lot of what we're learning in the Gemara over here is also, meaning when the Gemara quotes Mishnayos and Braisos, Torah's Kohanim also, Tanaitic in nature. So take a look at Rashi over here. I'm not going to go through it inside, but Rashi spends a good amount of time going over the actual Torah's Kohanim. It's going to mimic a lot of what we're going to be learning in our Gemara over here based on this Braisa. Tanya Rabbi Eliezer Omer Nemar Kan L'Chaper Bekodesh V'Nemar L'Halam V'Chol Adam L'Yeba O Amoid Bevo L'Chaper Bekodesh. Okay, so it says L'Chaper Bekodesh regarding taking the blood and sprinkling it in the, bringing it into the Heichal. Also, we find it a similar language used regarding Yom Kippurim. When the Torah describes the Avod of Yom Kippur, the Torah says, V'chol adam lo yeba o moed, bevo l'chaper b'kodesh. To me, it's like one of the most haunting moments, where basically the Kohen Gadol is going to go in, but in other words, everyone's got to clear out. Every Kohen has got to clear out of there before the Kohen Gadol actually steps foot into the Heichal, not even to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So, malahalam b'shelo keeper, avkan shelo b'shelo keeper. There, in other words, the Torah, when using the words that he's going to be mechaper, what it means simply is that he's going to be stepping foot into the Heichal. For the Kohen Gadol, stepping foot into the Heichal already is the point in which is the critical point. So too, when taking outer chatos blood, using the gzeir shava, taking the outer chatos blood and going into the Heichal, just stepping foot into the Heichal will disqualify the blood. That is Rabbi Eliezer's limud. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Namar Kan L'Chaper, V'Namar L'Halan, V'Espar Chatas, V'Estir Chatas, Asher Huva Es Dama L'Chaper. Interesting. Rabbi Shimon also learns Gzeir Shava. And he also creates Gzeir Shava using the word L'Chaper. And, I'll also add, that he also goes to the same source material. Meaning he's also learning from the Avodah of Yom Kippur. But he just simply turns to a different pasuk in Avodah Yom Kippurim. The pasuk says regarding the parah chatas and seir chatas, the blood is brought in for purposes of kapara. Now, for purposes of kapara obviously means sprinkling. Malahalam b'shekiper, avkam b'shekiper. So just like over there in terms of the Avod Yom Kippur, the word mechaper over there in that context clearly means hazaah. So too in terms of the psul of an outer chatas blood being brought into the heichal, it will only be disqualified at the point of actual kapara, sprinkling. B'maika miflagi, now the Gemara says, so what is that source over here? Meaning, it's really interesting. They're both learning gzera shavah. Then we generally assume, how do you get a gzera shavah? You have a Kabbalah. You have a tradition of the gzera shavah from your Rebbe. But the Gemara on top of that says that they're also debating what's the more appropriate gzera shavah. Now it sounds as if like there was a choice in the matter. Okay, a lengthier discussion in terms of the mechanics of a gzera shavah. But b'maika miflagi, mar shavah dan nechutz mechutz ve'ein dan nechutz mebifnim. So one is of the opinion that, look, the first pasuk is more appropriate because the first pasuk is describing going from the outside to the inside, meaning by the Kohen Gadol, he can't step foot inside until everybody else clears out. Here too, by the outer chatas blood, you can't go outside, you can't go inside. So in other words, they're both dealing with detailing situations where we're starting from the outside. Umar sarver danan behema behema ben danan behema me'adam. And the other position is no. The second gzera shava that we learned, meaning the one that was taught to us by Rabbi Shimon, much more appropriate. Because what are we looking to learn with? The blood of an outer chatas animal, meaning that's a karban. What are we looking to compare it to through the gzera shava? The par and the seir of Yom Kippur, meaning the actual animals itself. It's a more appropriate gzera shava. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Okay, so now we spelled out both the Limud of Rabbi Eliezer and the Limud of Rabbi Shimon, and then we get into the Mishnah, the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Now Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah said that if the Kohen with the outer chatas blood goes into the Heichal Bishogeg, well that's fine. Now he goes into the Heichal Bishogeg, that's fine, so the clear indication is I'm mazed puzzle. So it's the obvious diuk. So if he goes in, but he goes in knowing that he has outer chatas blood in his hand, so then it's going to be disqualified. But even at this juncture, what the Gemara says, I don't know is he subscribing to Rabbi Eliezer or is he subscribing to Rabbi Shimon? The way the Gemara sets it up, b'shekiper, b'shelokiper. Yeah. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, is it even before he actually applies the blood or is it only when he applies the blood? Or otherwise stated, like Rabbi Eliezer or like Rabbi Shimon. Am Rabbi Yirmiyah mimashma shenemar vespar chatas vestir chatas asher huvaz damam. So, why does the Torah say hasoreif? Meaning that once the bloods of both the par and seir are offered in Yom Kippur, what do you do with the actual animal itself? Lechatas apanimis, which means to say it gets burnt, not on the mizbeach, but in other words, it gets burnt chutz l'machane. The animals are taken all the way out of all gimel machanos, out of the azara, out of the harbais, out of Yerushalayim, and it's burnt. And then the Torah goes on to say that Hasoreif Osa, that the one who burns it, he himself is going to be Tameh, and he needs to go through a Tahara process. Yeah, it's a little bit of an irony that the Kohen who's doing the mitzvah of burning the par and the seer is going to be Tameh, but okay, that's the Torah. Ma Tam Alamar Vasoreif Legufa Itzderech. Now the Brisa says, why does the Torah say it? And to which the Gemara like viscerally reacts to the Brisa. What does the Torah say it? Torah says it because Torah has to teach us the halacha. So elamata malamar chatas chatas. That's not what the Braisa meant. What the Braisa meant is that it keeps saying parachatas, sirachatas. Contextually, we know what it's talking about. Obviously, the extra adjective of hachatas is there to teach us something. Lefishul elamano la parvisi irshiyam kipurim shenisrafim abes adeshin mitamim begadim shar nisrafim minayin. Okay. So I know that the Torah is super clear that if I take the par and seir of Yom Kippur, when I take the par and seir of Yom Kippur, and I burn them out in the Beis Hadeshen, outside the Gimel Machanos, so the Kohen who burns them is going to be Tameh. That part's clear. What about other Chataos Apanimios, the par of the Kohen Gadol, par Helam Davar Shel Tzibor, Seirei Avodah Zarah, the other three Chataos Apanimios? Is it going to result in the same? Tam lamer chatas chatas, div Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says, yes, it's going to be the same. And how do I know that? Because of the extra words chatas. Rabbi Meir says, I agree, but we don't need a drasha. Harei omer ves parchatas ves tirchatas intam alamar lechaper. Matam alamar lechaper. So according to Rabbi Meir, look at the word lechaper. Obviously, it was there to lechaper, meaning that's the whole purpose of bringing these carbonates to Yom Kippur. So limed al kol hamiskaprim shehasorfa mitame begadnim. So Rabbi Meir says from the word lechaper, comes to teach us that all other chatas, the panimios, they're there to provide a kapara. So the kohen who burns the animals' bodies outside of the gemamachanos is going to be tameh. Now, why did we just go through this entire brisa? For one singular reason. So Rabbi Yehuda lechaper lamashmalei. Now Rabbi Yehuda didn't learn out this halacha from the word lechaper. Why not? My time alav mishum demibayle legzereshava. It must be that because Rabbi Yehuda needed it for the gzereshava. What gzereshava? Go back above to what we learned earlier. Meaning, remember when the Gemara introduced us to the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shimon, and the basis of the machlokas Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shimon, and you take a look at the sheet of Rabbi Shimon says that when is the Kohen going to be disqualifying the blood? Only when he sprinkles it on the Mizbeach. How did he know that? He based on a Gzera Shava. Using what word? Lechaper. So the Gemara now does great detective work. The reason why Rabbi Yehuda didn't darshan the word lechaper like Rabbi Meir did is because Rabbi Yehuda already needed it for the previous Gzera Shava. So like a puzzle, the Gemara figured out now that it must be that because Rabbi Yehuda already had that word lechaper dedicated for a different Gzera Shava, i.e. the Gzera Shava Rabbi Shimon, that's why he didn't learn it the way Rabbi Meir learned it. Hajjalach kol hazvachim shenesarvu. Ad kan, that takes us to the end of the 8th perek, and we begin now the 9th perek of the Masechta, HaMizbech Mekadesh. Okay, the Mizbech is kind of like an ear miklat. Okay, I know it's a funny analogy, but it works. It really does work. Okay, in other words, you're a person who killed somebody b'shogeg. You right now are subject to the whim, the will of the Goel Hadam. If he wants, he can kill you. You run to the ear miklat, you're safe. He can't touch you. So even though you are in a precarious situation, and you know your existence is somewhat in the balance, you run to the ear miklat and you're good. So you live there. That's it. That's your
mizbeach.
How long can you stay on the mizbeach? So in a similar vein, I say this b'derech mashal. In a similar vein, the mizbeach operates in a similar fashion, where I have a carbon that gets disqualified. So obviously, I shouldn't put it up onto the mizbeach. And when I say I really mean Kohen. Okay. But you shouldn't put it on the mizbeach. But what we're going to learn together is okay. You shouldn't. Once it goes onto the mizbeach, Mizbeach provides a certain amount of Kedusha. If you take a look at the first Rashi, I know we didn't read the word of the Mishnah yet. Take a look at the first Rashi, Mizbeach Mekadesh, Afil Davar Pasol, Sha'ala LeMizbeach. Something disqualified that goes on to the Mizbeach, Kedusha Mizbeach. Rashi's language over here is even stronger, which, by the way, Rashi is just simply using the language of the Mishnah. In other words, the Mizbeach actually sanctifies it, meaning the Mizbeach actually imbues it, it gives it a certain level of Kedusha. A Mizbeach Mekadesho. Sorry. Kiddushah Mizbech, Lassos Lachmo, Ve'in Maridin Oso, kind of makes it like now property of the Mizbeach. No need to take it down. No requirement to take it down. So it's an interesting concept. The Gemara is going to be discussing it at length. And we start now with the first Mishnah of the 9th Perek, Mizbech Mekadesh, Ezaroylo. So we have an opening phrase of the Mishnah. So this is the catchphrase. The Mizbech is Mekadesh, anything which is Ra'oylo, which is appropriate for it, period. Now, you put a period over here, and then the obvious follow-up question. What does that mean, something which is fit for it? Meaning, certainly we know that the whole point of the Mishnah is things that are disqualified, when go up onto the Mizbeach, can stay up onto the Mizbeach. So when we say appropriate, we don't mean kosher, obviously, because the whole point of the Mishnah is, even when it's not kosher, even when it's pasul. But what the Mishnah must mean is that it has to be something at least within the ballpark of, hey, it belongs on the Mizbeach. It's something which could and should have gone onto the Mizbeach, of course, had it not been for the disqualification. What is it including? What is it not including? Machlokis amongst the Tanayim. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Kol HaRoi, Le'ishim. So here's Rabbi Yeshua's take on Kol HaRoi. Kol HaRoi, says Rabbi Yeshua, is, by the way, everything I just said is Rashi. In other words, my narrative of the Mishnah is all Rashi. I didn't read the Rashi inside. So kol haroi le'ishim, im ala lo yaran. So anything which is fit to be burnt on the Mizbeach, if it goes up, doesn't come down again. Shenamar, hi ola mokda. Ma ola shehi ru'i le'ishim, im alta lo seyred, av kol shu'ru'i le'ishim, im ala lo yered. So the Torah giving the prototype of what goes up onto the Mizbeach, so that is the ola. The ola is burnt. It has to be something which was destined to be burnt. That is kol aroi lo. Rabbi Gamliel omer kol aroi lemizbeach. Now Rabbi Gamliel takes the opening statement of the Mishnah, kol aroi lo, and he's more expansive. He says kol aroi is anything that's fit to go onto the Mizbeach. Im ala lo yered. Shenamar, hi ala al mokda al ha mizbeach. He just reads two more words into the pasuk. Ma ola shi ru'i lemizbeach, im alta lo seyred. I've called over Shuvai Lemizbech im alta lo seyred. So anything that goes on to the Mizbech, once it goes up, it shouldn't come down again. Now, you don't have to think that hard because it's going to be the very next line of the Mishnah, but what's the difference between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel? At face value, they are saying the same thing, right? Rabbi Yeshua understands the Mishnah of Kol Arai Lo, which is anything that's going to be burnt. And Rabbi Gamliel says it's anything that goes on to the Mizbech. Isn't that the same? So the Mishnah right away says it's not exactly the same. Ein bein divrei Rabbi Gamliel divrei Rabbi Yeshua, ela hadam v'hanesachim. So two examples of things that are going to be different between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel is going to be blood and the nesachim. Nesachim, by the way, is a term to describe the libations that come together with a carbon. You bring a carbon, so in conjunction with the carbon, so you bring nesachim, which is made up of oil, wine, and flour. The oil and the wine are not burnt on the Mizbeach, but they're actually poured on tubes that are on the very top of the Mizbeach in the southwest corner. They're by the Keren.
So oil, wine, and water.
Oil, wine, water on Sukkos. Ah. Only on Sukkos. So Ella...
Flour too?
No, the flour is not burnt. The flour is going to be burnt. So Ella Hadam Vanasachim. Sherem Gamliel Omer Lo Yardu. Rabbi Yeshua Amar Yardu. Rabbi Gamliel says it doesn't come down. Rabbi Yeshua says it would in fact come down. Meaning, perfect nafkamina. Right here, the Mishnah, by the way. Two approaches with a nafkamina. So this is a perfect nafkamina. Meaning blood. Blood goes on the Mizbeach. Now, when I say on, by the way, it's a funny preposition. It doesn't really go on the Mizbeach. It goes against the Mizbeach. It's on the side of the Mizbeach. Although there is a yesod, and we discussed just a couple days ago, it's the horizontal of the yesod. But in other words, I could still say it simply. It goes on the Mizbeach. I'm just, you know, being a little bit generous with the word on. But it goes on the Mizbeach. So if the blood goes on the Mizbeach, so according to Rabbi Yeshua, no, it doesn't stay there. In other words, you got to scrape it off. Why? In other words, we're talking about blood which was disqualified. You got to scrape it off because it's not burnt on the Mizbeach. And only those things which are burnt on the Mizbeach is Mekadesh. Blood is not burnt on the Mizbeach. So if disqualified blood were to be put onto the Mizbeach, you take it off. Same thing with Nesachim. Nesachim is poured on the Mizbeach. Here on is literal. The Nesachim is poured on the Mizbeach. But according to Rav Yeshua, but it's not burnt. If I take disqualified Nesachim and put it onto the Mizbeach, you take it off. Masha'en came according to Rav Gamliel, he says, Kol Arai LeMizbeach. As long as it's shaykh to go onto the Mizbeach, so you're good. So over here, it's shaykh to go onto the Mizbeach. So therefore, even the blood and even the Nesachim, if they were disqualified, once they're put onto the Mizbeach, they stay onto the Mizbeach. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Hazevach Kashav Nesachim Psulim. Ha Nesachim Ksherim Vazevach Pasul. Afil Zev Zeb Psulim, Hazevach Lo Yeri Vanesachim Yardu. There is a constant discussion that we're going to be having regarding the relationship of a carbon and its nesachim. The nesachim are attachments to the carbon. They're accessorizing the carbon. So, when you have a carbon, that's a zevach. If the zevach is kasher and the nesachim are pasul, if the nesachim are kasher and the zevach is pasul, even if they're both pasul, zevach is not to be taken down. Nesachim is to be taken down. Later we'll discuss how Rabbi Shimon fits in with Rabbi Yeshua, with Rabbi Gamliel. That is going to be discussed later in the Gemara. In the meantime,
even if it's a shlamim, it stays up like an olam.
Yeah, in other words, the carbon, anything which is going to be burnt, stays up there. We start now in the Gemara and Pei Gimel, Midbeis Rai Lo in Shein Rai Lo Lo. So something which is fit as opposed to something which is not fit. Lamute Mai, now what are we coming to exclude over here? Amar Papa Lamuti Kamatsum Shalo Kichu Bikli. Okay, we're talking about the Kometz. We've talked about this before, a quick reminder. When the Kohen has a carbon mincha, so what he does is he takes off a kemitza, a fistful of the flour, and he then is mekadesh it in a second kli sharis. He takes the actual kometz and he puts it into another kli sharis. Before he takes the kometz and puts it into the second kli sharis, it is not yet fit to go on to the mizbeach. What the Gemara now is teaching us is as follows. Even though we're saying that the mizbeach is able to accept and receive things that are pasul, but it has to be something which is ra'oi. So what isn't ra'oi? The kemitza, before it's put into the second kli sharis, is not ra'oi. Because before putting into the second kli sharis, it's not invested with kedushas haguf, says the Gemara. Amra papa lamuti kamasim shalom kitcha b'kli. So maskala ravina maishnami de ula damer ula. The Gemara says, I don't understand. How is any different than what Ula taught us? Ula taught us that imure kache kalim shehelam lifnei zrikas damim lo yardu nasu lachmosha mizbeach. So the imurim of kachim kalim. Rashi over here is just wonderful, as Rashi over here takes a step by step through the process and the Gemara's question. Rashi imurim kache kalim lifnei zrikas dam lo huveru lemizbeach. It is not yet selected for the mizbeach. Rashi goes on to explain. So, let's take our kachet kalim, let's take a regular carbon shlamim. So now you set aside a carbon shlamim as a live animal, so good, so now it's a carbon. And now, is there imurim yet regarding this animal? The answer is no, not by shlamim. In other words, when we have imurim by carbon, it's only the part that is going to go onto the mizbeach. By a shlamim animal, most of it's not going to go on the mizbeach. Now, it's true that after you shecht it and after you sprinkle the blood, so then there are various organs that are going to go on to the mizbeach, the diaphragm, the kidneys, the chelev that covers them, the fats that cover them. But in other words, but that's only after zrikas adam, not before zrikas adam. Rashi writes, I'm going to read that line of Rashi again. Shezrikas dam shalahem kov asam lechela gavoa. Only when you sprinkle the blood of a carbon shlamim, only then are you koveyad, you establish that the imurim are going to be part of the mizbech, destined to the mizbech, le'inyam me'ila, vis-a-vis the halach of me'ila. Ma she'en kem b'kachya kadashim, she'en mizkalasam le'gavo, v'imurim olam le'mizbech, or omdim le'mizbech. Aval kashim kalim, ein behem me'ila, afilo b'imurim, k'detayim b'taras kohanim, mizkachya Hashem, am'yuchadim l'shem, yatsu kashim kalim, aval la'achaz rikaz damim, yesh me'ila b'imurim. So by the kashim kalim, by shlamim, the imurim are not considered chelik of the mizbeach until after zrikas adam. The nafkalam ivachol chelav l'Hashem l'rabos imurim kashim kalim la'achar zrikas damim l'meila ve'afilo hachi kamel lo yardu. And now Rashi points out, now you understand the question really well. If I were to take the imurim of a shlamim and put it onto the mizbeach before zrikas dam, so the ula says very clearly, don't take it down. I don't understand. Don't take it down. It's not yet huvrar. It's not yet been determined to go up onto the mizbeach. It's not yet done until zrikas adam. Much like the kemitza of a mincha is not yet huvrar. It's not yet selected to go up onto the mizbeach until it's put into kli sharis. So how can you compare? How can you put rapapa and ula side by side? To which the Gemara says, Hanach lamechasri maise begufayil. So the Gemara makes an intrinsic distinction. When it comes to the kometz, it's the actual kometz itself which is going on to the mizbeach. So in order to prep the kometz to go on to the mizbeach, you must put it into a kli sharis. Prior to that point in time, it's not yet huvrar. It's not yet been determined that it's going to go on to the mizbeach. Meaning we know its destiny, but it's not yet been selected. Masha Enkein, as it relates to the imurim of Ishlamim, nothing's changing regarding the imurim themselves. Once the animal shechted, we know that the imurim is going to go out to the mizbech. It happens to be that I can't put up onto the mizbech until I sprinkle the blood. But that's external to the imurim. That's not intrinsic. That's not internal to the actual imurim itself. Let's do just a little bit more for this morning, and then we'll stop at the next two dots. Rabbi Gamliel Nami Haksiv. Sorry. Rabbi Yeshua Amar Kalabrai Le'ishim. We go back to our Mishnah. A general debate in the Mishnah between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua. What does it mean, kol haro'u yilo? What is the ra'ui coming to include? So as we saw already in the Mishnah, machlokes. Machlokes Shimon ben Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Gamliel nami aksiv ola amokta. So for Rabbi Gamliel, who says that it includes anything going up onto the mizbech, you have to agree. The Torah says the words ola, which means something which is burnt. Hahu la'adur pokin hu da'asa. No, that pasuk is just coming to tell me that if because of the heat of the mizbeach, one of the limbs just flies right off of the mizbeach, right? The heat propels it right off the mizbeach. So what we're supposed to do is pick it up and put it back up onto the mizbeach as well. V'idach, the other Tana will tell you la'adur pokin manale nafkale me'asher tochal ha'esh. In other words, the Torah says asher tochal ha'esh, the fire has to consume it, meaning that there is a mission. The mission is for the fire to consume it. So by virtue of the fact that we need the fire to consume it, if it flies off, I got to put it back on again. V'idach, the other Tana, ha'umi ba'ile la'akule ola atamachzer, v'atamachzer ikule katoris. If a limb of a carbon ola flies off, I've got to return it. What if pieces of katoris, as I'm burning the katoris, flies off the inner mizbeach? I don't need to return it. Didni Rabbi Chanina bar Yume bar Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov asher tochal ha'esha sa'ola, al hamizbech ikule. I'm sorry. Esaola al hamizbech ikule ola tamachzir via tamachzir ikule ketores. There's only a requirement to return the ola to the mizbech, but there is no requirement to return the ketores onto the mizbech apnimi. V'idach, the other tana lav mimelish mamina de kule ola mahadrinan. So the Gemara says, well, that's by default I'm learning this halacha. Meaning I don't need a specific drasha to tell me that. Meaning by virtue of the fact that I'm returning the ola onto the mizbeach, so then I know by extension that I don't need to return the ketores onto the mizbeach. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up.